Welcome to another edition of Eye on the Issues. And this time we're going to talk about what happened in this year's legislative session. It is now over, of course, it being an abbreviated one, a budget-oriented session, if you will. And joining me now is the House of Representatives for District 32, Rep. Ken Clouston. Ken, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Mike, thanks for having me. Looking forward to this interview.
You bet. So let's begin by talking about your background and give us an idea. I know you're in physical therapy. You've been on, I guess, the State Board of Education. You've been on local Board of Education. Tell me, what am I missing and fill in the gaps?
Yeah, sure. Grew up in North Dakota, married a Wyoming girl. So I wanted to head to Idaho and she said, let's stay in Wyoming for a little bit. And she said 3 years, it's been 31 on going on 32. So, father of one, my son's 26, lives down in Texas, finance guy for Yeti. So, get a little discount on Yeti products. That's nice. Right. I've coached baseball for 14 years, served on our hospice board, served on the hospital board or excuse me, the school board, won two elections there and then got appointed to the State Board of Education. And then, last term ran against a friend of mine, Dr. Tim Hallinan. He had served 5 terms in the House and won that election. And so just finished my first term as the rep for House District 32.
So why don't you talk to me about what's your perspective on how this session went? It was obviously a budget one or a finance one, however you want to couch it.
Yeah, I thought it was, personally really successful. I got a lot of the stuff I wanted through. It's always emotional, right? You kind of get tied to some of these bills. And, my ESAA bill was something that worked on for a year and kind of resurrected. And then the Senate completely stripped it. So I didn't even want my name on it anymore. And then we brought it back in the House and we had a conference committee and did some compromises. I had the Senate president pulling me one way and the Speaker of the House pulling me the other. And I think it worked out to be a really good bill. And it was a great learning experience for a new member of the House.
And now that was school choice, is that correct?
Yeah, an education savings account.
Right, which translates exactly into giving parents an option as to where they want to put their money toward their kids. So after the Senate did what they did to it and it came back to the House, did it go anywhere from there?
Yeah, so we in the House, we had to talk about it again, voted on again, and see if we wanted to accept the changes from the Senate, which we voted non-concurrence. So from there, it goes to a conference committee, right? We had 3 senators and myself and 2 senators from the House. 6 of us got together, came up with a compromise. We took that back to both bodies, overwhelmingly passed the Senate. I think it was 28-3, got through the House. It was kind of a closer vote. I think some of the education folks really... we're trying to defeat it. It's interesting with my background serving on a school board and the State Board of Education. I think my perspective is a little bit different. When you have less money, you have less choices, right? People with less income, whether you want to, what cars you can buy, what house you can buy, what groceries you can buy. And it's the same thing in education. Some of those families that quite don't have the funds maybe to do some homeschool or some private schools, this gives them the ability to do that and to reach maybe some things they couldn't without a little bit of assistance.
And right. So it didn't make it all the way through. So that's where we are. It's going to be back to the drawing board next session.
No. So it's sitting on the governor's desk.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is. Yeah. What we gave up, the Speaker of the House really wanted 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds to get some funding for pre-K. The Senate president kind of wanted universal choice for everybody, no matter what your income level. But in the state of Wyoming, you cannot give money unless it's to the poor. And that's why we kind of did a tiered income level. So anybody at 150% of poverty or less would get $6,000 a year. If your income's at 500% of poverty level, you get $600 a year per student. So there's about 6 different levels in there based on a family's income.
Ah. Very interesting. Good. And do you expect it to get a signature?
I do. I really do. I think it, it's got a lot of support throughout the state. Superintendent Degenfelder is really behind it. And again, this has been over a year's worth of work getting to this point. And it's been a lot of compromises on a lot of people.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to hear. It's real good to hear. All right. There are a number of other pieces of legislation that you were part of, had interest in. Let's begin by talking about HB 14 prior authorization. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Wyoming is the only state that didn't really have any prior authorization laws, rules. So every insurance company kind of dictated to us differently what they wanted. So being in the, you know, being in the field of medicine, met with some of the hospitals, met with some of the insurance companies, met with Wyoming Medical Association. And again, this is about a year's worth of work on what would work and hundreds of hours of actually meetings and phone calls and text messages. I went down to Cheyenne several times, met with the insurance companies, met with other people, the labor and health committee. And, you know, we put together some great things. So now, previously in Wyoming, the insurance companies had 14 days to get back to us. If you approve your MRI or surgery, we had got that reduced to 5, you know, and one of the problems with that, you know, if you have an employee who's off work and they're waiting for an MRI, there's a big difference between your work days of 5 days and 14 days, you know, and if you're hurting, right, if you're in pain, those 9 extra days make a big difference. So that's part of this. Also put in what's called gold carding. So if a physician gets approved 4 out of 5 times for a procedure with an insurance company, for the rest of the year, they don't have to go through the authorization process again. So this is really going to free up a lot of time from our providers. You know, and one of the things that brought this along between Cheyenne, Sheridan, and Gillette, they had 30 job openings on people just to do prior authorizations. I mean, that's how much time is being spent. We're not talking people that are already employed. We're talking 30 more people needed to handle this problem here in Wyoming. So this should really make a difference to healthcare in Wyoming. We also put in their step therapy. So insurance companies, if you're taking medicine C right now, you've already taken A and failed, so you've got a gastrointestinal problem, and B didn't work for you, now you're on C. And doc says, well, I want you to try this new thing, D. The insurance companies were making you go repeat A and B, even though you failed them already. So now you're getting sick again, right? A lot of people don't want to do that. This takes that away. If you've already failed A and B, you don't have to go repeat those processes. So that's another big win for our patients. And, you know, it cuts down on costs, helps people's health.
Fantastic. Wow. It sounds like you got major steps in the right direction for what you're trying to get through there. And given your background, you obviously have a pretty solid perspective as to what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. And it was a lot of input. And I'll tell you, our insurance companies, you know, we don't have that many in Wyoming. We could get everybody in a room and sit down and hammer out some other things. You know, everybody, again, gave a little bit. I had another insurance bill I was going to bring. And you know, once you get into it and start visiting with the insurance people, you just realize maybe this was too big right now. So I let that one go for a while, but this is one we could all work on and sit down at a table and figure it out together.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And there was a bill, SF-69, regarding hospice reimbursement. What did that call for in terms of reimbursement wise, and where did that measure go, if anywhere?
Yeah. So again, just like the last bill, so House Bill 14, the governor signed. This bill, the governor also signed. So got together with Senator Landon out of Casper. So right now, end of life issues. We have 5 hospice homes in Wyoming. We had 6. One had to shut down. But insurance was paying $250 a day if you were in a nursing home getting end of life care. But if you're in a specialized hospice facility, they were only paying $125 a day. So what this bill does is it just brings that payment up so it's equal payment. I mean, you're getting better care, specialized care. It's a small setting. It's better for family, better for staff, better for patients. And all we want to do is see, you know, equal pay. And, you know, one of the reasons that one of the nursing homes shut down is they own part of the hospice care and part of the nursing home. Well, they could send them to the, you know, the nursing home instead of the hospice care for end of life. And they got double the income, right? I mean, financially you get it, but it's not what was best for the patient or the family.
Got it. Very interesting. Another good move, obviously, for people. Let's talk about HB 45 property tax exemption. Tell us about that measure, if you could.
Yeah, so awesome bill sitting on the governor's desk. Hopefully this gets signed. Barry Crago is a rep from Johnson County. Talked to me last summer, his bill, I co-sponsored it. You know what we've seen last year, Wyoming has 23 counties, 22 of them had double digit increases in their tax values. And the other one was at 8%. And this has been going on year after year. You know what? People want a tax break on their property. Wyoming's still low when you compare it to nation, but what we can't do is we can't sustain double digit increases year after year. So this caps it at 4%. So it can be lower than that. You know, your tax valuation, say something happens to your community, your value could go down or it could stay at zero, but it can't go above 4%. So this allows counties, right? So, you know, our property taxes pay for our local, our county and city governments, our schools. So this is going to give them up to a 4% increase, you know, if costs are going up, but it's not going to give them that double digit. So this is really a way to protect our people in Wyoming.
And is that up to a 4% per year?
Yeah. Yep. 4% cap. Can't be more than that. So
yep. Got it. Interesting. Okay. Senate, file 86, which is school safety and security funding. Can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, interesting. So in Wyoming, it's this one, this bill passed and this has been signed, but sitting on the governor's desk is if we can do carry and concealed permits in public buildings, including our schools, right? So Second Amendment rights, you know, do we give local control to school districts or do we just say this is our Second Amendment right? And that's what we did in Wyoming. So you can now carry and conceal into schools, if the governor signs it, right, into hospitals, into our legislature. What this did is Senator Cole brought this to our committee in labor and health, and it was about $2,000 per school district to help with training and gun safety. I didn't feel that was enough. So we actually closed that meeting that night. You know, I texted my chair and said, hey, can we continue this discussion later? And I went and talked to Senator Cole, and I said, this needs to be more. In my county, when I was a school board trustee, we allowed this training in our schools, but it's a lot of money, right? Like $10,000 doesn't cut it, but it sure helps these school districts with training if they want to buy some biometric safes. So it's just a way to maybe better prepare our staff and protect our kids. So it was just a way to increase a little funding for our school districts.
So looking at the session as a whole, what would you say the, in your opinion, is the biggest accomplishment for this, just this most recent session?
You know, it depends on how you look at it. I'm a saver, I'm a tither, right? So, you know, in these last 2 years, Wyoming put away just over $2 billion in savings, right? So that $2 billion is going to produce about $100 million a year in interest income. So that's $100 million of taxes we don't have to collect. All in all, Wyoming now has over $30 billion in savings. North Dakota is probably second, and I think they're sitting around 10. So, you know, when you look at the Wyoming income, about 55% comes from our mineral industry. Another 15 to 20%, maybe even higher now, maybe it might be closer to 30, comes off our interest income. So that only leaves about 15 to 20% that the Wyoming people have to come up with in other funds. So yeah, it's a blessing, right? Like, you know, we're talking $1.5 billion last year in interest income that people of Wyoming don't have to come up with in taxes. So, you know, and you look at it, like we put away $2 billion. We gave another $225 million in property tax relief to our citizens. You know, some people say, well, we should give more money back to the, right, hold less tax money, maybe not put so much in savings. But I'm, you know, you never know what the Wyoming economy is going to happen. You know, when natural gas prices are high, then people switch their power plants to coal and our coal produces money. But right now, the futures on natural gas are about 60 cents and they were over $4 and as they measure them, right? So people are going to switch to gas, and we're not going to get much money for the gas, but they're not going to use coal. So I think you're going to see some hits to the Wyoming economy. And it's nice we've got this $30 million in investments that can produce as our industry doesn't.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. What a smooth move and smart looking ahead. So from a functional standpoint, how would you say the session worked? I know last session there was some talk about the speaker putting, you know, having some measures in his desk that he wasn't willing to pull back out, education related and whatnot. Was there any lack of functionality this go around, or did things run pretty smoothly?
You know, it's interesting. In the house, I think things ran a lot more smoother, right? I think it just was a better feel. I think we got a lot more done. I think people are more accepting of other people's views. You know, last year we had 26 newbies, myself included, trying to figure out how everything works. And, you know, a lot of the more experienced seasoned reps kind of took everybody under the wing. And I think that's really one of the things that helped. People started to learn, get up and talk when you need to, but maybe don't talk all the time. So that helped. Where the Senate side, they were normally they're the less dysfunctional group because there's only 31 of them, but that did not seem to be the case this year. So
what would you say was the most surprising aspect of the session for you, if you had to pick one?
You know, it was coming down to the very end. You know, it's Friday afternoon, and we're starting to wonder if we're going to have to come back because not sure how the House and Senate budgets are going to come together. And then all of a sudden we hear that the Senate stopped discussion and they just went and voted and the budget passed. So, you know, we had taken breaks to go watch the Senate debate because we didn't know what time they were going to finish or, you know, what our weekend was going to look like or we're going to be coming back in May or June. So I think getting the budget done on time, that was a little bit surprising at the end.
Nice. So we got to ask you this question. What do you like most about living in Wyoming?
Oh, man, I love Wyoming. The people, you know, the facilities here, it's wide open. You know, my backyard, I can look out and I hardly see another house, which is really nice. But yeah, I think it's just mostly the people and the independence. You know, we're lucky to have the resources. You know, I live in a town of 35,000 people and we have facilities that not many other communities this size have. And again, that's just been a blessing of resources and planning. Yeah, I'll never leave, right? And I'll tell you, tax friendly is probably the most tax friendly state there is. You know, we don't have any state income tax. We're lowering property taxes. We just lowered our workman's comp insurance taxes. So it's a pretty independent state. So
fantastic. So last question. So if people are in Wyoming out there watching this and they want to make their voices heard and to get a little more involved, maybe not running for office, but maybe what's your advice? How can they really kind of, in this day and age with everything going on around the world, some people really have said, you know, it's time for me to make my voice heard.
Sure. You know, like you can get involved at the precinct level, you know, which we meet our Republican County people, we get together and we kind of meet that way. I'll tell you, I try to respond to all my local constituent emails or calls. Get a lot of emails. And a lot of the people will come down to Cheyenne. We have a lot of functions at night. I'll go if I know that there's a local constituent there. You know, if there's nobody there from Gillette, I may not go. But if I've got somebody from my hometown willing to make the trip and come talk to me, that means something extra. So I think reaching out, you know, email us, call us, and just let us know what you're thinking, because things can change. You know, we had a bill come through that looks like it was going to close all the local vape shops. And a lot of the local people came through, these small store owners, and just kind of gave their side of it versus the big tobacco side. And we killed the bill in the House. And it looked like it was going to sail through. But when these people showed up and said, here's our side of the story, it made a huge difference and it killed that bill.
Interesting. Now, I know legalization of marijuana obviously has not gone through in the state of Wyoming, although many other states it has. Mm-hmm. Were there efforts to make that happen this go round, or where does that stand?
You know, if anybody brought that bill, it never made it to the floor. And, you know, in a budget session, you need 2/3 a majority for it to enter the floor, really. So you can get up and explain it, but unless 2/3 of people vote for it. And so if it did show up, I think the majority floor leader knew that it wouldn't be there. But I would think if Wyoming ever did anything, maybe medical would probably be the first step if it ever happened. But Wyoming's a pretty conservative state, so we may be one of the last bastions to hold out. So,
yeah. Well, you know, given the fact that your neighbor to the south there was one of the first, in many respects, and what's for anybody that's done a little homework on Colorado and the impact of that, you know, you guys may hold tight for a while.
Yeah, you know, I think so. We used to go down to 16th Street Mall all the time, and it's just not what it was 10 years ago. I mean, I think the legalization of marijuana has really changed downtown Denver.
Yeah, that along with the fact of the homelessness,
yeah,
and then the illegal immigrants coming in. I mean, I go to Denver a lot,
okay.
And I've seen a big change myself, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
So, all right, Ken, I really appreciate taking the time to talk to us about what's happening and how the legislative session went. And hopefully we can talk again next go around and we'll see how things play out.
Sounds good. Appreciate the time and the interview, and look forward to talking to you in the future, Mike.
You got it. Okay, folks, you want to watch or learn anything more about Wyoming, wyliberty.org, wyliberty.org. Sign up for our newsletter. Thanks again, Ken.
Thank you, Mike. Have a nice night.
You too.